Welcome. Maybe 30. We have a very special guest today. Kayfler had to do her little sing out. Sorry, everybody. We are going to introduce the one and the only Matthew. This is Jarl, everybody. How do you say your last name, actually? Unless you don't want that to be on the internet.
That's too much information to be on the internet.
So Jarl thinks he's cool and he goes by his last name, but only half of his last name. So he's even harder to find.
Don't stalk me.
In real life. Yeah. So actually, we're going to start off by introducing Jarl. Okay, so how do we know each other, actually? We have the same friend group.
Yeah, did we meet at Steampunk Festival?
Oh my god, actually, wait, this is a good story. So
like a year and a half ago?
Yeah, you haven't lived here very long. That's like as long as you've lived here, yeah.
2 years in February.
Okay. So he was at Steampunk, and he was sitting on the back of his truck, and I was like, hi, I haven't met you, like, I'm Kelly, and he just said, I know. Yeah, and I was like, okay, it was like super awkward.
Mind you, I don't remember this experience at all, and to be honest, Kelly could totally be making this up.
Why would I make it up? That's like the most Jarl thing that's ever happened, ever. Like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so it made me like feel so uncomfortable. So I didn't talk to him for probably like a year after that.
I feel like I constantly make you feel uncomfortable.
That's true. That's true.
And the fact that you're going to be on the podcast, I'm a little bit surprised.
Anyways. So yeah, we're in the same friend group. When you were coming through town, you had like met a few people in like our squish friend group, right?
Yeah, this was like summer of 2022. I was on a mountain biking road trip through Oregon and met, kind of interestingly, a bunch of people in our friend group, but I met them separately at this forest party. And then throughout the night, I kept seeing that everyone was just hanging out with each other. And I was like, wait, you guys all know each other? And they're like, yeah, we're all friends. I was like, mind explosion.
You thought you were like bringing people together. Exactly. You thought you were really doing something here.
I'm building the new community. It's my first day in bed and I'm building a community. And it's like, wait, there's already a cool community here.
You're making all the change in the world that you want. It's great.
But you're unstoppable at forest parties, for real. I still haven't been to one, actually, to be honest, but
It's a shame. You're missing out.
So what's funny enough, though, is that Jarl and I are the only single people in our friend group. So we were talking about this, and we hung out a few weekends ago, 2 weekends ago. Yeah. And Kayf was in town for Broco. We all went to Broco. And
such a cool concert. Can we just, like, say how cool that concert was? I had such a good time that night. Thanks for showing me around. It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
This is always a good show. But, like, yeah, that night was such a good one.
Mm-hmm. They like brought the opener on stage at different points in the night to different people from the opener to play music with them. It was a really, really fun show.
Yeah.
The violin.
Like, yeah, like everybody got their own special moment.
And the fact that Phil did, what's it? The Garth Brooks song, Low Places or whatever, is the best. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Great show.
So Jarl brought up the fact that he wanted to come on the podcast because he has a lot of feelings. So
I'm a very sensitive guy with a lot of feelings. What can I say?
But in general, like for, I guess, more like focus, we're going to talk about dating apps and like kind of dating experiences, like pet peeves, things like that. Do you want to just like introduce like what you wanted to talk about, or do you want to just start with like dating profiles?
Yeah, let's start with kind of what was on my mind and why I have such a mixed bag of feelings about dating profiles.
Let's give some backstory. So talk about your dating profile first.
I mean, I have a great dating profile.
As everyone thinks.
Okay, well, how long have you both been on dating profiles, the both of you? And like, what's your experience with like the longevity before you delete and then back on it?
What's funny is we were just talking about this. I downloaded it today for this podcast specifically, but I haven't been on it in a minute. The last person that I was dating, I met on Bumble. Jarl met him. So it's just like a weird balance when you like stop dating someone to like jump back on and like go through the whole motions again. It feels like exhausting and whatever. But anyways, I downloaded it today for the sake of the show, and I have a few likes on there. So we're going to go through some of those likes because it's just funny. And what we look for in profiles, what we don't look for, and all that kind of stuff.
All right. I'll do a little bit of a background. So I've been on the dating profiles off and on for, or dating apps, I should say, for probably since they started.
When was that? Do you know?
I have no idea whenever Tinder started. I believe that was kind of the first one, right?
Yeah, it was definitely when I was in Ethiopia. Years ago, so right? At least like 2014, 2015-ish.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, when I'd be dating someone, I'd get off of them. And when the dating wasn't happening, then I'd jump right back on.
But have you met someone successfully on one?
I mean, most of the people that I've dated, well, okay. Most of the people that I've dated were from dating apps.
Okay, interesting.
Most of the people that I was in a relationship with were not from dating apps. Mm. So there's a huge kind of like determining factor there of the results from the dating apps. And maybe it has a lot to do with my opinion on the dating apps, is that most of the people that I have been in a relationship with, I did not meet on dating apps.
Okay. And why do you think that is?
I mean, I think mainly it's because when you're meeting people on a dating app, you don't really like there's additional forms of communication that you don't experience through just messaging and a couple pictures that you see. In my opinion, and you can call me a hippie, totally accept it. But I think that there's a vibe that you pick up when you're in the physical presence of another person. You might have this opinion based off of, you know, the, like I said, small amount of pictures and messaging that you've done back and forth on dating apps, but then you meet in person and it could be their voice, it could be their mannerisms, it can be multitude of other communication methods that just don't click with you, and it can totally ruin it. And so it's pretty easy to just be really stoked about someone when you're chatting with them on the app. Mm-hmm. And then you finally, if you meet them, which is like another hurdle of dating apps, is, you know, you message for far too long and then you run in, then you meet them and you're like, oh God, I can't stand this human.
And like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you like get sort of like connected to them in some sort of way. Like you make up all these like things in your head, or maybe this is like a way that a girl's brain works, but you like make up all these things in your head. Like you move like super far forward and then you meet them and you're like instantly, no, like absolutely not. And it's just like weird because you've made up all of these things and like have all these situations in your head. And then it's just like instantly gone. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. I 100% can relate to that.
Yeah.
You start thinking about like, ooh, this person would be fun to do these trips and hang out at these events.
Yeah.
And you start developing this kind of hope for a relationship. And then you meet them and have one experience with them. And you're just like, ew, gross. I can't do this.
Don't say gross.
I mean, sometimes it is, though.
Like, don't yuck someone. There's someone for everyone.
There is, but not everyone is for everyone.
True. What is like one,
but like it takes the whole process of like meeting somebody by happenstance or whatever, and then like you instantly click, whereas you're just, it feels so surgical when you go to the date. I don't know, I feel like I'm not a proponent of them. I didn't have any success with them. I was on them, but I didn't meet my partner.
And what's weird too is like, so for your example, Keith, your husband, you and your husband met at work, but like a lot of people work from home these days and, or like don't really go into an office. And so that's not really an option anymore. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting. Just like the way that not only have like dating apps changed the way dating works, but also just like the way of our world, you know, like, I don't know, all that kind of stuff too.
I agree. And I don't know about you both ladies, but I really don't want to go to a bar to meet a woman. And I kind of want to meet someone in kind of like a natural organic way where it's just, I don't know, you're pumping gas or something. And you,
that's like, you know, the most man like thing something, you can say.
Something that's just
randomly. How, in your life. How many women, like, do you meet pumping gas?
I don't know.
How many people do you meet pumping gas?
Gas attendant that's like a really cool lady that you meet.
That's like so Oregon. Yeah.
I hope that would be, that would be really cool. That's like, yeah.
I mean, the other day I was driving, I don't know where I was driving to, but this person, I don't know if it was a guy or girl, it was dark, it was nighttime, pulls out in front of me, and I almost hit them. And I was just thinking, that would be an interesting way to meet a potential partner. Like,
Charlie, okay, so we're not doing
scary options.
No, but like, I mean, just like random everyday life situation that's options. True. I think that would be a great way to meet a person. Right.
Everybody has their Prince Charming in every situation. Doesn't matter. Like, let your freak flag fly. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
So those are some of the issues that I have.
Wait, one thing that you mentioned about communication, what is like a communication ick that you have? Can you think of one?
Oh, definitely.
Like, because you said just like the way their voice sounds, and that is like my number one thing. When I meet them and their voice is great. Jared has burped.
It was an accident. It came out of nowhere. Kelly, it's your tea.
Sorry.
It's your tea.
That's this is what it's like to be a boy on the podcast. Maybe it's everyone. Your creamer. Anyway.
Don't be surprised to foot fart. Oh, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I promise. I won't do that.
Okay. This is like my new house and Jared just comes in and like farts in it. No big deal. Yeah. So like someone's voice for whatever reason is like a huge thing for me.
That could be one of them. It definitely could be one of them. There's a possibility it could be the main one. But also there's
voice.
Okay. Like when you're having a conversation with someone and they're constantly interrupting you, or, you know, it's certain like conversation etiquette type stuff where, you know, you might be talking and you might give a pause for them to, you know, process what you just said. And then rather than allowing you to continue, they like put in what they're talking about. And to me, that's a huge red flag because they're not listening to what you're saying. They're thinking about what they want to say. And the second they find an opening, they're interjecting and saying what they want to say. So there's no back and forth. There's no understanding. There's no, it's just kind of, it shows it to me. It tells a lot about a person.
That's fair. I feel like
I would say that in general, though, like just outside of dating, like people don't listen and super annoying.
Agreed.
I feel like a lot of times too, and tell me if this is your experience, like dating women, but or whatever you want to date. I don't know.
I date women. let's put it out there. I'm a straight white.
Glad that we clarified
this. In my experience, like 9 times out of 10, if I'm on a date, like I ask 79% of the questions, and the other person, like, they don't care. Either they don't care, or like they just have nothing to say, or they can't think of, like, everyone's like, give them a break, like they're nervous. And I'm like, you can't think of like, what's your favorite color or whatever the case may be. Like, you can think of some stupid ass question that doesn't like make me feel like it's like exhausting going to date sometimes.
I 100% agree. There has to be a back and forth. There has to be questions because we as humans, we love to talk about ourselves. And if you're the one that's constantly asking the question, you get this feeling that they just don't care about you because they're not asking you questions.
Totally.
They just want to talk about themselves. They only care about themselves. And then there's no this back and forth. There's just a one-way conversation. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. For real.
I think a lot of like our icks, I guess, are just common communication things, I feel.
That's fair. Because
that doesn't necessarily mean like from one, let's just use a straight relationship, a man to a woman, woman to man. It could be the same thing just talking to your friend. It sucks to talk to your friend and all they're doing is talking about themselves and they never ask, well, how are you doing? How's your life been? Tell me about what you've been excited about recently. Like, it's just common communication stuff.
Mm-hmm. It feels like too that people just like don't have the time almost. Like they don't care to put out the extra effort that it takes. Like we're such in like a society that just like go, go, go. And like, don't waste any time kind of situation. And either like it clicks or it doesn't, which I do kind of agree with. Like, I do believe in like the spark or not spark kind of situation. But I also like am trying to like move deeper into like the slow burn kind of situation, because I feel like it's not really super successful, especially like being older with doing the like spark situation, because
It usually fades. Is so exciting.
I know. It is for like a week and then it's not anymore. But still, it's weird with dating apps too, because it's like, how many dates do you give it before you're just like, I'm actually not interested, instead of like this just being a slow burn, you know, kind of situation. So sorry, Kate, what do you have to say as a married lady on
dating apps? Wow, put me on blast. It's okay. God. No, I was just going to say, you just said what I was going to say. It sounds like you guys are like meeting with a bunch of assholes, and it's not a bad thing to like not be interested in an asshole who doesn't ask questions or like wants to engage in. The whole point of dating is that you do the thing. You have to be in it. And if you're not in it, then what am I doing? Wasting my time?
For sure. I don't know. And I do think it's another thing of now, like, at least for myself, I will speak for myself, is that I'm in a spot in my life where I'm like very happy with work and house and friends and all of those things. And if you don't really want to like grow like together still, it seems harder. Like I'm kind of like set in my ways, I guess. And so you kind of have to find new things to like grow together with, because there isn't any more like the getting like professional jobs and like buying a house and like all that kind of stuff to like build on. You kind of have to like find new things. And so it is really interesting just like navigating that and then like fitting those things together, because hopefully that person also has the same things that I do. So then like trying to mesh them together seems like a little bit harder at this point.
I agree.
Seems like it's harder to find compatibility, you know, somebody who can meet you at the same level.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that there's very much truth to what you just said. And I feel like the older that I get, the more I feel like I want to do the things that I want to do when I want to do them. Mm-hmm. And especially, I mean, I see people that jump from relationship to relationship without having like a gap to kind of process what happened in the previous one, what went wrong, let me work on myself for a little while, and then jump back in when I feel like I'm developed or looked at like the negative parts of that previous relationship and was able to learn from that, process that, grow from it, and then go into the next one. And then there's the opposite side of the spectrum where I feel like I'm in, where I've developed so many of these opinions about previous relationships because maybe I overanalyzed them and developed all these like, nope, that's not going to be what I want to do. I don't want to be with a person that does or sounds or looks or behaves like that. And it really narrows down the dating pool quite a lot, rather than just accepting someone for the way that they are with their flaws and then growing with them and working on those flaws together. So there's kind of those two opposite sides of the spectrum. And, just like with everything, it's a scale from black to white. There's a lot of gray in the middle, and to find something in the middle that both can be happy with, that's really important. But it's pretty hard to find that when so stuck in your ways, because the older you get, the more stuck in your ways you get.
Totally. I was just going to say, Jar, are we the same person? Because I feel like everything that I'm saying, you're agreeing. Everything, whatever. Because I always tell Kayfler, or not Kayfler, just like my friends who are married, I'm just like, you are so patient. You are so good at this. Like, I would be like, absolutely not. And that is like the difference, I feel like. I mean, I don't know. Who am I? Anyways, I feel like I just am what kind of what you're saying. I'm just like, no, thanks.
I have my next question. Are you ready? So knowing your opinions and like absorbing a lot of what you guys are saying, which is honestly very similar, why are you still on dating apps?
Interesting.
Honestly, I feel like, you know, I feel like it's really hard to, okay, I'll give you my perspective. So Kelly, would you agree that I'm what a lot of people would consider a good guy? So being a good guy, I feel like I want, this is going to get a lot of maybe not PC. I feel like a lot of the Me Too movement was a great thing for women to bring up a lot of the problems that women experience with men. But I think that just separated the good guys and the bad guys even more. Because now the whole Me Too movement has made the good guys very scared about being perceived as a bad guy for doing what before Me Too was just asking someone out or showing interest in them. And then the bad guys, they're just going to keep doing it. They don't give a shit. They're bad guys, right? And so I think that that's separated it a lot. And so I'm very reluctant on actually approaching a woman in the wild and hitting on her, because I don't want to be looked at as like a creep that is gonna, you know, violate a woman's independence or how their feelings are because I'm hitting on them. And I mean, I'm not gonna hit on them in a way that's like vulgar or demeaning or anything like that, but in my head, any kind of hitting on someone that is not interested in being hit on has that negative connotation because of the Me Too movement. And so I also think that back in the day, there was like different kind of dating, I'm going to call them habits because I can't think of the right word to use, but there would be like the woman would provide some sort of invite for an interaction between a woman and a man. And as much as you want to think that men initiate interactions between men and women strangers, it's mostly women.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And so I feel like right now I will not interact with a woman because I'm scared, I'm nervous, I don't want to be the creep, unless I get like an obvious invitation to interact. And I also feel like a lot of women are expecting a man to initiate a conversation. So there's this like disconnect in all of it.
Okay, I agree with you up until a certain point. Like, I do agree with you that totally the good guy got bad guy situation. But I do believe that just though, and obviously this is my personal opinion, but like the only people that will perceive you as a creep is someone who's not attracted to you. If you're pursuing someone or just saying whatever you need to someone, and they're like reciprocating interest, like they're always going to reciprocate interest. Like there wouldn't have been a situation where they thought you were a creep or hitting on them. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, but I'm just saying that I think that the people who want to be pursued or whatever the case may be, or who are interested in you or attracted to you or like your energy or whatever the case may be, will always reciprocate that no matter what. It's only the people who are not interested that would, and maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I personally feel. That's is fair. That if someone were to say something to me, even if it was the stupidest pickup line, if I was uninterested, I'd be like, oh, come on, bro. But if they were cute, I would be like, oh my God, he's funny. Like, whatever. You
even
know
though
what I
he
mean?
Wouldn't be funny.
Like, I mean, I would be like, the fact that he like put himself out there makes like the whole part of it. But I don't know. So just something to think about.
I do think there's like some vulnerability to going up to somebody and making it apparent that you're attracted to them, like whatever you want to do, however you want to approach that problem. But
for sure. And we're definitely
yeah,
scared.
I mean, that's
of that.
Natural.
I mean,
that's but I yeah. am very curious as to, I guess not curious, but I'm interested to hear that like men are withholding themselves based on social biases about being a creep. Like that sounds like you're missing an opportunity.
No, that's definitely a thing.
Oh, why are you surprised? Like we're all social creatures, and we, as much as we want to say we don't care, I say this all the time, I don't care what other people think, but I yeah. very much so care about what other people think.
Yeah, it just seems like a disservice to men though, to like make them feel that internal turmoil, you know, like that doesn't seem like something I would want anybody to go through.
And I think, and you know, I that's what I'm saying is I think the whole Me Too movement initially had a very meaningful, purposeful mm-hmm. cause, with not really recognizing the secondary effects of what that has on society.
Yeah, for sure.
I think a lot of social movements are the same way. You know, it starts off with a very purposeful, meaningful, good intentioned cause, and there's always some sort of secondary effect that maybe has society regressing in a certain sense on a different topic than what the initial movement's purpose was.
That's historically accurate. Like, that's happened so many times in so many different facets, for sure.
Have you heard of the, like, man loneliness epidemic or whatever that's going on? Okay, I don't know.
You have to answer the question now. Yeah, like, why are you still dating us?
I mean, this is my understanding of it. Is just that men are, like, millennial and Gen Zs are, like, lonelier than ever. Like, they're in less relationships. They're having less sex. Just all of these things that are adding up to them being more hateful and, I guess, just, like, distant from women in general. But I do find it fascinating that we're just, like, going through this time now. And I mean, like, I don't know that much about it, but I just was like, it kind of like brought up the situation that you were talking about, is just like, there's more men than ever. I mean, also women, but women, I feel like, are not more at peace. I don't know the right word for it, but are like
a sisterhood that they can lean into, you know, like, there's always, or I guess not always, there are a lot of lonely people out there. Women may have a less hard time connecting with another woman. So, like, there's a community there. Sorry, go ahead.
It seems like there's just a, like, a break a little bit in men who are able to, like, express their emotions and men who are not. And,
like, a lot of times it's hard for them to make friends. Like, they get into a relationship and then they're just, like, by themselves. Or they're just by themselves because they don't want to be vulnerable to, like, make friends. It's just, like, hard for them. It's hard.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely, like, a part of men that is vulnerable and that they're trying to figure out where that, like, emotional balance is, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think that there's a lot of, I don't know if you ladies have heard of the term incels. Have you?
Yeah.
No? Okay. So incel is it's a term that means involuntarily celibate. So basically you're not having sex, not because you don't want to have sex, but because no one will have sex with you. And I think that there's a growing population of incels. And I think a lot of it has to do with the dating situation in society right now.
That's fair.
I think a lot of it has to do with one, like what we just discussed with the Me Too movement and the negative effects that that has had on, like, society in that sense. Also, I think dating apps is another really, really big problem with that. Because, and it's a combination. I think it's a combination between dating apps and porn.
That's true. I think millennials are, like, a big porn.
Porn is a big problem. Yeah. And what my opinion is that, like, when you have an easy way to alleviate that natural need.
That was a beautifully PC way of saying that, by the way. Well done.
It doesn't give you the desire to
put yourself out there.
Not only put yourself out there, but to be better, like, to grow and evolve and be a better potential partner in the future. You know, you're just like, well, I can just watch a little bit of porn and satisfy myself and I don't need a woman. You know, and also I think that another part of that is this whole dating app thing is that, so this is kind of what I wanted to get into. We'll jump right in. So as a guy, a guy's experience on dating apps, you are swiping through, you see this endless pool of potential partners. Some of them you're really into. Some of them you find really attractive. Sometimes you read the descriptions or the questions or whatever it may be. And you're like, wow, this woman would be great. And you swipe right or you accept or you send a message or however it works with the dating app that you're using. And then you go on to the next one and you don't know whether that person has seen your profile or if they've rejected you. And in real life, like when you're interacting with women and hitting on women in the wild, you know whether you got rejected or not, right? So there's this positive feedback loop, or maybe it could be considered a negative feedback loop, that if you get rejected, you change your approach and you try something different with the next potential partner that you try to hit on. But with dating apps, you never get a response. The only time you get a response is a yes. And so, and I mean, I'm going to admit to it that this is the way that my brain worked too, is that when I've been on Tinder for a long time. I could not tell you the last time I got a match on Tinder. It's probably been many years since you get an actual match on Tinder. And so I look at it, I'm like, it's not my profile. My profile's great. I'm a cool dude. No one can argue with anything about my profile and tell me that I'm unattractive or not someone that someone would want to be with. But I could be being swiped left on thousands of times. I would just never know that. And so I think that that is this, like, there's no incentive to grow or change or do anything, because in your head, you're saying, I'm right, I'm correct. There's a problem with the system. There's a problem with the app. There's a problem with the algorithm. And that's why I'm not getting any matches.
Interesting. So having a feedback loop or some input, even if it is anonymous, would encourage a wealth of men who would take it upon themselves to have that self-criticism to grow, right?
I think that if you had some sort of response saying 10 people saw your profile today and none of them swiped right, I think majority of people would be in their head thinking, well, maybe there's something that I need to change about myself to maybe fall into the social form that more people find appealing so that I can get a match.
Or your profile itself. Like, 9 times out of 10, men's profile is like 10 pictures of their double chin. It's like nothing else. It's the same photo, just like over and over again. Like, why would anyone? I mean, and it's weird too, because like you say that, and I do agree with the fact that, you know, like maybe Tinder is still like, these dating apps are still trying to like make money. So like, regardless if, I don't know, they're giving you the information that you need, they don't care. Like, they really don't care about you finding love or anything like that. So like,
well, some of them do.
Oh, really?
I mean, I think so.
Okay. Well, Hinge absolutely does not.
We'll talk later.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
It's like all a money-making scheme. So like, it's weird because, yes, I agree in that there needs to be some sort of like, because with that being said, like there's all these things, and I don't know if this is true or not, but everyone says like on Hinge, the only people that show up on Hinge are people who have X'd you. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So like you're obviously, so obviously if you like them, they already have said no to you. So like you're not going to match with them. That's why you never match with anyone on Hinge, because Hinge is a fucking joke. But anyways.
Well, hold on. You just pulled up your Hinge and you said you just got back on it today.
Okay.
And you already have 3 matches.
So because, listen, because Hinge is a money-making scheme, and I followed, okay, I watched too many videos, whatever, on TikTok. We all know this already. But I did this thing where I changed all my preferences on Hinge so that my profile shows basically me to like more people, and I've done it multiple times and it works every single time. So you change all your preferences on Hinge so that you're not looking like you've been on there, you don't like anyone, you can't like anyone.
Right.
You have to like do a refresh basically every single time that you open Hinge. And
you gotta work that algorithm, baby.
Yeah, it's all an algorithm. It's all a game. It's a fucking game. But anyways, so I like downloaded it today just for this activity, and I got 3 likes, and none of them I will like. I know that right off the bat, but just the fact that that like shows you how it works is like kind of crazy. Okay, there you go.
So I'm happy that we got to this point, because here's the other thing about dating apps that I think is very detrimental to dating society is You've been on Hinge for how many hours, would you say?
Today?
Yeah, or just like since you put it back on.
Oh, maybe 10 minutes. Well, I just downloaded it today.
What time today?
I don't know. Like 10 a.m.
And it's 6:40, so you've had it for 8 hours. Let's just call it that, right?
Okay.
You've already had 3 matches. I couldn't tell you the last time on Hinge even, and that's Hinge is probably the one that I get the most responses and interactions on. I couldn't even tell you the last time that I got someone that has sent me a like on Hinge. And so this is where the problem lies with dating apps, I think, in general, is that there's so many guys that like women that women get overwhelmed with like how many potential matches that they have. And I've heard this from multiple women that they'll like go on their Hinge account and they'll have endless likes that they can swipe through and see which one they prefer.
No, that's not. I mean,
like, what?
I want you to finish.
Okay. So, and like I said, when it comes to men, and I'm using myself and as experience, but I'm also hearing this from a lot of other single guys, is that they almost get zero likes on theirs. They might get a match because they've sent a message to someone, then someone responded to that message, but they've never gotten one interaction from like an initial message from another woman. And so where I'm going with this is that the women have this endless pool of guys that want to interact with them. Guys have absolutely no one. And so the, you know, maybe the top 10% of the guys that are messaging women get a response. The rest of the guys, it's just crickets. And so there's this like, well, there's this mentality of like, well, I'm not getting anything. And so there's probably obviously something wrong with the algorithm. And all right, I'm going to let you respond because I lost my train of thought and I need to get it back again.
So yeah, that's what I was going to say is that I think that women, or I mean, just in my experience, women do a lot more of like the refreshing. We know that it's all a game and we play the game. You guys probably just don't play the game. Like if I were to sit on Hinge every day without refreshing it and like people and everything, I would get nothing. I would not talk to anyone. I would not, like, I have deleted it multiple times because there's no point in me being on there. Like, I haven't got a like in months. I haven't like talked to anyone in months. Like, there's all these things until I do all these refreshes and all this like stupid bullshit because it's a game and like they just want your money. And so the only way to get around it is to do all these crazy little maneuvers to where you get likes. And the only reason why I have likes now is because, like I said, I downloaded it today. And so I haven't been on it in, I don't know, 4 months or something.
You see, this is proof. Women are manipulative. They manipulate the system.
Jarrow, it sounds like you hate women.
That was a joke.
Whoa. Okay, clarifying it as a joke.
True women are manipulative.
No, I mean, that's not what I meant. I meant that girls like have desire to like see results. That's like where men and women differ, I think, is that like women are not just going to sit there and not get any likes. Like guys are just going to be like, oh, woe is me. Like I'm not getting any likes, instead of like doing something about it. But I will say that I have had great success on Tinder and Bumble. And, but again, like Bumble is an interesting one because the girls have to put themselves out there. The guys don't have to put themselves out there. So I think it's just like, depending on what dating app you're looking at, and then like how to play the game again. It's just like a game. So I don't know.
Okay. I mean, are you guys ready for my intake?
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing though?
Go for it.
Okay. Sorry. Hold the thought. I hope you don't lose it because I got my train of thought.
Don't say that. You're going to jinx me. Go ahead.
So with this whole women get, you know, hundreds of likes that they're overwhelmed and they like don't really want to look through all of them to find someone that they're interested in. I feel like it kind of inflates, and please don't take this the wrong way, but it like inflates women's egos, saying that they can match with someone that maybe above their
Fair enough.
You know, what they can match with someone.
Above their grade. That's okay.
Yeah, above their grade.
It makes guys
feel like they're not worthy of what they have accomplished and what they have done in their life to be able to have a match that they think is within their grade or whatever you want to call it. And so it creates this like weird hierarchical women, men, misdynamic. I don't know what to call it.
No, I think you're on the money there. Okay. To go back, like if I got a message that said you had 10 people look at your profile and nobody liked you, I would probably question, what am I doing with my life?
Do I think that men have the capacity to do that thought process and take responsibility and like actually make changes? Sure. I definitely would believe optimistically there would be plenty of men who would take that feedback and own it and make changes. Historically speaking, that's not been my experience. So that, I think that that adds a different level of depression that everybody deals with on a day-to-day basis. So I don't really recommend that. But what Kelly said about the coach, somebody can like reach out to you and say, hey, these are some of the feedback pieces that you might want to innocuously think about or make changes to. I like that idea. Give some feedback, because you're right. The apps are really a big disservice and they're a huge waste of time. And then you're talking about how do you even meet the expectation if you don't know what it is? Like all these women have so many different options, and how do we even, we have to feel so much more responsible to like meet that grade or go above. And I think that's a similar feeling between sexes that we both don't give each other enough credit for. You have a little bit of vulnerability there. And, you know, I just don't think that it's healthy to try to live up to somebody else's expectations. You're going to do the best that you can do. And if somebody's not there to jive with you, they're not there to jive with you. But then it's a numbers game, right? Then you're just wasting so many hours to find people, that one needle in the haystack that's going to be like a decent person who's going to make eye contact and ask you questions, and, you know, this laundry list of being a basic person rather than an asshole. You guys are hanging out with way too many freaking assholes. Like, what's going on in Bend? Nobody's dating in Bend? What's happening?
I was gonna bring that up too. Just like dating in Bend in general is interesting.
So Bend is full of just a bunch of assholes.
No, I mean, it's full of a bunch of ENM people, which I was shocked. Yeah. When I moved to Bend, it was like every other profile, they're just trying to fuck everybody.
Yeah, what do you feel about that?
It was, I think it's, what? How do I feel about ENM?
Like you being that.
About ENM?
Would you ever do that, yeah.
What is ENM?
Ethically non-monogamous.
Yeah, so it's basically you have like a primary partner, but you're allowed to sleep with other people.
So you have like an open marriage.
Basically, yeah.
ENM. People, this is where you heard it from.
You have to Google all these things when you get on dating apps, like when I moved to Bend, because I didn't know any of the terminology. So.
Am I an old person? I didn't know that.
No, it's just like very much part of our lives here, oh, yeah. I feel like.
I don't know what it is about Bend. It's something in the water that everyone just wants to have sex with everybody. Mm-hmm. But whether that happens, I don't actually know if it's true. I just think it's a lot of talk, to be honest.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Do you know people that do that?
I mean,
they say that they do.
So it's literally just a bunch of talk. Okay.
I've heard of there being sex parties and things like that, but I've never been to one.
Yeah,
agreed. Obviously, because I'm not into that.
So. Yeah, your dad listens to this podcast.
I know, we're not talking.
Kelly's about. Never been to it.
Wow, that was a lot of feelings going on in this podcast. But guess what? Next week is part two.
That's all for today's episode of Candidly 30.
Hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed chatting.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-star review.
Your feedback helps us make the show even better.
Follow us on Instagram @Candidly30.
Thanks for being candid with us.